This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour satellite soiree. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Denver to Davenport, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? A happy Monday to you. Another big week around here. We will take you through Wednesday. Then I'm off on Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. But in these 3 days, we will jam as much holiday goodness into these three shows as humanly possible. It begins today. How about Trent Dilfer joining us here on the show? Super Bowl champion, Dilfer's Dimes. He's going to drop on by here in about 10 minutes from now to discuss the weekend that was in the NFL. We'll also tackle what has happened to the Eagles. The Cowboys, are they about to win this division after the injury to Alex Smith? How gross was the Alex Smith injury? Are the Steelers just different this year? And is John Gruden losing his mind? All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, hit me up on the phones on any of those topics or anything else from the football weekend at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's begin with last night, Sunday Night Football. The Bears were back in prime time. Big stage. Game was flexed. Because lo and behold, a Bears and Vikings game in November was for first place. And the Bears and their defense totally stymies the Vikings. And they walk out with a 25-20 win over Minnesota. Don't look now. But the Chicago Bears are 7-3 after four straight wins. We know the Saints are brilliant. We know the Rams are great. We get another chance to look at L.A. coming up tonight. But in the NFC, are the Bears a legit Super Bowl contender? It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
First and goal at the 18. Cohen motioning out from the left side of the backfield, wide to the right. And on first down, Trubisky gets the shotgun snap, rolls to the right, sets and throws for the end zone. Low throw, sliding to get it. It is caught by Anthony Miller. It's a touchdown.
He's an evil genius. The guy, he knows the game in and out, and he knows his players. And ultimately, he wants the best for us out there on the field, and so he puts us in position to make plays.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood 1. That was Khalil Mack after the game talking about his evil genius head coach, Matt Nagy. Look, going into last night's game, I was very open about this. I did not believe in the Bears as being a great football team because their best win of the season came all the way back against Seattle in week number 2. The three wins before last night, Jets, Bills, Lions, before that they had beaten the Buccaneers and the Cardinals. These are not great wins. But last night was a very big one. And that defense wreaked havoc on Kirk Cousins and that Minnesota offense. Between Adam Thielen and the other weapons that Kirk Cousins has usually had at his disposal, you just saw that pass rush, that fast to the ball, first to the ball mentality that the Bears have, really send the Vikings into a downward spiral early. And they couldn't get anything going for the entire first three quarters. And last night, that was the biggest win they have had of the season. And that was a complete win. And it was 14-0 and then 22-6 into the fourth quarter. And you just knew, boy, this Bears team is different. That's a legit resume-building win. And they are legit. Now, they're not at the same level as the Saints or the Rams. Specifically, the Saints are operating at such a ridiculous height that I don't know who can challenge them offensively right now or as a whole. I'd love to see the Bears' defense against the Saints' offense in a playoff game, but that's farther on down the road. I want today to be able to give Chicago credit because you know what Matt Nagy is doing? Nagy is coming off of that very successful Andy Reid coaching tree and showing again that assistants out of that school do big things. The Belichick tree is a stump. There's nobody that comes out of that that you give any type of credit to. But the Andy Reid tree has had a number of very successful guys, and Nagy's doing it. I think this is very obviously a year ahead of schedule for Chicago. But what they did before the season was trading for Khalil Mack was to advance the process, was to get that franchise guy, lock him up to anchor the defense. And Mack and Akeem Hicks on that defensive line, just remarkable. And Mitchell Trubisky is playing good enough. He might not be great. He might still make a few young guy decisions, but you got to admit, right now, he's playing well enough, and the Chicago Bears, with a win last night, 7-3, are absolutely a legit contender in the NFC playoffs. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Watch us as well. WatchDA.com for the simulcast. WatchDA.com. So much from yesterday's NFL action to break down and chew on. And that's why we have Trent Dilfer, who will join us to discuss it coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Damon Amendola.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Amendola. 15 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, there's tons to get to this morning on the show. Take us with you wherever you go on the phone this morning. You can use the CBS Sports app. You can use the radio.com app. You can use Apple Music. Or you can even watch the show at watchda.com. Coming up, Trent Dilfer is going to join us here on the show, so stick around for that. We'll discuss a number of different situations that unfolded yesterday from a quarterback standpoint around the NFL. As always, you can hit me up on the phones and any of that at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can always ask the pros as well this morning, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, as I mentioned. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. In the NFC, the playoff standings look like this. Saints, the one seed. Rams, the two seed. Saints destroy the Eagles yesterday. Rams play tonight against the Chiefs. Saints own the head-to-head tiebreaker. Those would be the two bye teams, the two teams with the week off of the playoffs in the NFC. And then you're talking about the Bears, leading the division, and right now Washington still leading the NFC East. I got a feeling that's not going to hold on for long. Washington losing Alex Smith. And the moment that I saw Colt McCoy get in, I said, A, I can't believe Colt McCoy still has a job, and B, uh-oh, because he's included in the most famous drop in DA show history.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
Never forget that the Brandon Wheaton drop includes how Colt McCoy's going to be gone.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone.
Never forget.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone.
No. The answer is no. To whatever question you're going to pose me for Washington, the answer is no. Do I think they hold on to the division? No. Do I think they make the playoffs? No. Do I think they can make a playoff run? No. Do I think they can win a playoff game? No. Do I think they'll be fun to watch? No. Do I think Colt McCoy's going to be serviceable? No. The answer is no. The injury was gruesome. The injury was grisly. And the great irony of the injury happening in Washington, 33 years to the day from Joe Theismann's injury, with Joe Theismann in the building, and the same final score, is just ridiculous. But with the Dallas Cowboys now lurking just a game behind Washington and seemingly finding their groove, the answer to every Washington question is no. And now you're two wild cards. Right now, the Carolina Panthers and the Minnesota Vikings would be your two wild cards out of the NFC. The Packers would be out. Eagles would be out. Seahawks would be out. Right now, starting to get laid out there. But for the NFC, I think top to bottom, it's going to be a fascinating postseason. In the AFC where we stand right now, the number one seed, obviously the Chiefs. And again, we get to see Kansas City tonight against elite competition in LA against the Rams. Your two seed right now is the Steelers at 7-2-1. That tie actually helps them here because the Patriots and the Texans are both 7-3. Now, the Steelers and Patriots will play one another in mid-December at Heinz Field. But right now, Chiefs are your one seed. Steelers are your two. Those would be your two byes. And as we've talked about before, the Patriots have never gone to a Super Bowl, let alone won one, when they did not have a bye. When the Patriots have had to play wild card weekend, they do not make a deep run. Because what does that mean? It means they have to play on the road in January. That means they would get the home game wild card weekend, but then have to be on the road. You have to keep watching the Steelers here, because the Steelers winning could dictate the entire fate of the Patriots postseason run. Yesterday, some really interesting NFL quarterback performances, and time to break them all down with our friend Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl championship, and of course the author of Dilfer's Dimes on a weekly basis, working with Panini once again. So we love having him on the show. Trent, good morning.
What's happening, buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Just football geeking like normal.
That's a good place to be. I want to start with some football geeking on the Carolina Panthers. What did you think about Ron Rivera's decision to go for the two-point conversion and Cam Newton's inaccurate throw on that play?
Well, you know me. I'm not going to give just a normal answer. It's funny. My wife and I were driving in the car on Saturday, coming back from my daughter's volleyball tournament in Fort Worth, and Ohio State, Maryland had the thing pop up where Maryland did the same thing, went for the win in overtime
right,
instead of kicking the extra point.
Exactly.
Quarterback. You know, 2 weeks ago, Oklahoma State tried it, missed it. And my wife asked me, what's your take on this? And I said, you know, I wish I could give you just a blanket statement like, yeah, you always go for it, or you don't go for it. Or, you know, if you want to take this conversation to going for more fourth downs. Like, I appreciate and understand this more ultra-aggressive way of looking at football that a lot of these coaches are doing these days. My problem with it is when it becomes formulaic. And I think that's what happened to Coach Rivera, is he said it after. It's like, okay, when we're on the road and we're in that situation, we're going to go for two to win. That makes a lot of sense on paper. But that's not a formulaic decision, because you haven't taken into account momentum. You haven't taken into account other circumstances. Every two-point conversion is different. Every fourth down is different. They're not all the same. You can't put them in a box. And where I think these coaches make a mistake, specifically Coach Rivera yesterday, is you lose sight that you have momentum on your side. You just went down and scored and came from behind and did something really special to be in that situation. If you kick the extra point, momentum's still on your side, and the odds are you'll win the long race. And that's what I don't think these coaches think enough about, is the circumstance around their decision. They make that decision on a Thursday instead of in moment on Sunday. And that's the problem I'm having with this new generation of ultra-aggressive coaching. It looks great. It sounds great. All the data geeks around the country love it because it makes sense on paper. But yet in the moment, it's not having as much success because they're not taking all the other factors into account.
Fantastic answer. Trent Dilfer joining us here on the show. He joins us courtesy of Panini America, the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL and the NFLPA. The Eagles got waxed yesterday. Do you feel like Carson Wentz has been part of the problem, or is it everything else surrounding the Eagles?
Well, they've all been part of the problem. I mean, you don't play this bad after winning a Super Bowl without having everybody a little culpable. I think it's star. You want the 30,000-foot answer is they celebrated too long. They didn't press the reset button fast enough. I didn't get the chance to repeat in Baltimore, but I've talked to a lot of buddies that either had a chance to repeat and didn't do it well, kind of like the Eagles, or had a chance to repeat or make a run and really made a solid run. And every answer has been consistent. The guys that didn't have success, they poured perfume on themselves and celebrated for too long. They didn't recreate the edge it takes to make a run in the NFL. The guys that did do it well, the teams that did do it well, their coaches, their management, their team leaders were wise enough that when they got, even before they got back in the building in March, in February, it was already about the next season. We're done talking about the Super Bowl. We're done talking about what we accomplished. It's all about having to earn it again. And it's a mindset. It's an edge that has to be created, whether it's, you know, freshman basketball, or whether it's the NFL, or whether it's World Cup soccer. To be really good the next year, you have to understand it had nothing to do with the year before. And if I saw the Eagles this summer, I was with a bunch of them. They were still partying up. They were still talking about it. They were still living the glory of the Super Bowl and didn't press the reset button fast enough. So I think that's the biggest issue. And then there's some practical things. Losing Frank Reich's a big deal. I think it's a huge deal, not a little deal. It's a huge deal. He's one of the great coaches in the NFL, and they lose him late, and they have to adjust to that, and they haven't done a great job of that. They lose DeFilippo, the other offensive coach that's a really good coach. And they've had injuries. They have been banged up, and that's a real thing, and I think that contributes to it. So it's kind of a perfect crap storm they face, but part of it they brought on themselves by not pressing the reset button fast enough.
Yeah, I think even Alexander Ovechkin was looking at the Eagles saying, hey, guys, slow down. Slow down. You don't have to celebrate that long.
Good call.
Trent Dilfer joining us this morning here on the show. How would you grade out Lamar Jackson's first game as a starting quarterback?
The note I put down was frenetic but fun, baby. I mean, I had anxiety watching it. I really did. I mean, one, he's wearing the number I wore in the Super Bowl, so I'm already a fan. I love the kid. I just think he is a fantastic football player. Watched almost every game he played in college. But gosh, it's frenetic. It looks nothing like NFL football.
Yeah.
There's no rhythm. There's no timing. There's no precision. It's just chaos. And it's chaos in a good way. I think it fits their formula. I mean, they want to run the ball. They want to, you know, chew up the clock. They want to put their defense in a great situation. They do that with him. He did throw the ball pretty well at times. Now, is any of this sustainable? No. You cannot play that style of football in the NFL long term. You can play it for short stints. So I want everybody to push the brakes on Lamar Jackson is the answer. Like, he's not the answer yet. He may be at some point, but he's not the answer yet. He's the perfect backup quarterback in today's football. Perfect. To have that type of skill set and to be able to throw out a totally unique offense when your starting quarterback's banged up creates a ton of pressure on the defense. You don't know what you're going to get. You're kind of guessing on defense. It fits your offensive model of holding the ball, high number of carries, a lot of different ways of attacking in the run game, putting your defense in a good situation. So there's a lot of good to it, but it is not sustainable. One, your quarterback's going to get killed. Like, you just can't run the ball that much in the NFL. Even if you're sliding, eventually you're going to get hurt. There's no continuity, no timing, no fluidity in the passing game. You're going to struggle in critical downs. So they got to grow this thing out if he's going to be the quarterback. But like I said, it was fun to watch.
Trent Dilfer, our guest this morning here on the show. Looks like the Cowboys turned a bit of a corner here. If you had to develop an offense to take advantage of Dak Prescott's skill set right now, what would you rely on?
Well, watching the Bears last night, I think Mitch Trubisky and Dak Prescott are basically the same player. They are fantastic athletes. They're awesome competitors. They're tough guys. They're everything you want as a young quarterback, but they're still very remedial as passers. They're still a pick and stick passer, meaning you pick a guy, you stick with them, and you throw the ball. You're really good to your primary guy. And then once he's not open, you either trust your athleticism or you might go to two. And if you go to two, you're not going to be quite as accurate. That sounds like a criticism. It's really not for this stage of their development. It's on the coaches to recognize that and build an offense around that. And to answer your question, I'll go back to what I learned from Norv Turner when he coached Alex Smith his second year, was every time Norv called a play and every time he had a motion or a formation or a shift or something, it was quarterback-centric. It was, okay, we have to make sure that we do our best possible job of giving number one a chance to be open, having number two be something simple, and then trusting that three is going to be the quarterback's athleticism. He's not going to take a negative play, and he's going to let us live to play the next play. And what that looks like is what the Bears are doing. The Cowboys are starting to do it, but really what the Bears are doing, where you use a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of window dressing, to help get number one, help the guy you're trying to throw the ball get open. And if he's not open, there's going to be something else that's kind of right in front of you. But if that doesn't work, you're going to see the field spread boundary to boundary. The defense is going to be spread boundary to boundary, so that quarterback has a chance to have more room to wiggle and get some yards with his feet. And that's what I love that Nagy's doing with the Bears. He knows who his quarterback is. They're doing a great job with it, and I want to see Linehan do a little more of it. We've seen a little bit more the last couple weeks, but there's got to be a little bit more.
Trent Dilfer joins us courtesy of Panini America, the exclusive trading card company of the NFL and NFLPA. And you do a really cool video series called Dilfer's Dimes. And you could watch that actually on Panini's Instagram account as well, which are really cool. And you've kind of broken down some Trubisky stuff and some Deshaun Watson stuff over the course of the season. Coming out of this week, what's your latest Dilfer's Dimes video going to look at?
Well, when we hang up, I got about half an hour and I'll be filming it. I'm leaning towards DJ Moore, the receiver for the Carolina Panthers. I think this kid could be special. Really, really special. Unique skill set. He's a thick-bodied, twitchy guy. You don't find that a lot. You find a lot of thick-bodied power guys. You don't find a lot of thick-bodied, twitchy guys. What I mean by twitchy is he's got speed and quickness. That kind of beep-beep where you blink your eyes and he's going a different direction. But he's also thick. He's got power. He can run after catch. He has great ball skills. He can make the contested catch. He's becoming a good route runner. He can get by you. He's physical as a blocker, which is underrated for receivers in this league. I see superstar in the making in DJ Moore. And with all these videos, I try to find something a little bit different, a little bit outside the box to do my analysis on, and that's where I'm leaning this week.
Yeah, check it out. They're really cool. Trent Dilfer's Dilfer's Dimes. Check them out online as Panini America is the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL and the NFLPA. Trent, it's always cool to catch up, man. I appreciate the intel, the information, and the energy. We'll talk again, bud.
Always fun, brother. Talk to you.
Okay, Trent Dilfer joining us this morning on the show. And you know what? I think we just fell face first into the perfect description of Mraz. Thick body, twitchy guy. Mraz, I think that's the perfect descriptor for you.
I can't think of anything else that would describe me. I'm thick.
Very.
I'm very twitchy, sneaky athletic. I am DJ Moore. DJ Moore is Mraz.
Well, I don't know if you want to compare yourself to a wide receiver in the NFL, but a thick body, twitchy guy seems like something that...
I'm twitchy.
Very.
I'm thick. I got a body.
Thick body, twitchy guy.
Yeah, but twitchy in is positive in one end. For Shawnee, though, it's more negative twitch, is it not?
Yeah, Mraz's twitchiness comes when the Giants fall to 2-7,
right.
1-7, and he starts twitching.
Or there's a sandwich out of reach.
Right. Or there's some type of cheese queso dip all over his chin. He's just like twitching.
I mean, I twitch, yes, a lot. Yesterday I twitched because I had a little Asian zing caught on the bottom of my lip, and I was trying to lick it off and go, twitching, licking.
Thick body, twitchy guy. Thick body. When we come back, what has happened to the Philadelphia Eagles? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Breeze under center, I formation, handoff, Ingram up the middle, lunging towards the goal line, touchdown, Mark Ingram, his second of the day, and the Saints take a 37-7 lead.
I mean, it was a culmination of a lot of things, obviously, today. You know, I played a lot of football games in my career ever since I was a kid, and this is one of the worst losses I've ever been a part of, and yeah, it's frustrating.
That was Saints radio on the call after the demolition of the Eagles. Carson Wentz licking his wounds as the rest of the defending Super Bowl champions are. 41 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always follow along the show by following us on Twitter at DA on CBS. Also on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Go there, like the show page. We'll get your timeline popping.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
Doing More is brought to you by the Home Depot. Next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. How about LeBron? We're going to talk a lot of football today, but how about LeBron going for 51 last night as the Lakers get a 113-97 win over the Heat? It's LeBron's first win in Miami since he left South Beach for Cleveland back in 2014. Is that not amazing? With the Cavaliers, 4 years they went to the NBA Finals, but he could not win in Miami. First crack at it in L.A. with the Lakers, he drops 51. 11 of LeBron's 12 50-point games have come on the road. How interesting is that? 12 50-point games, that's sixth place all time, breaking a tie with Allen Iverson. I thought what Trent Dilfer just told us on what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles is a very salient point. I asked him, what do you think is the biggest reason for the Eagles choking after last year, gagging on their Vince Lombardi trophy?
Every answer's been consistent. The guys that didn't have success, they poured perfume on themselves and celebrated for too long. They didn't recreate the edge it takes to make a run in the NFL. The guys that did do it well, the teams that did do it well, their coaches, their management, their team leaders were wise enough that when they got, even before they got back in the building in March, in February, it was already about the next season. We're done talking about the Super Bowl. We're done talking about what we accomplished. It's all about having to earn it again.
I think that that's very, very, very significant when you look at what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Trent was talking about talking with guys that have tried to go after a repeat. He won a championship in Baltimore but was not part of the team in 2001. But talking to some of his teammates that were and other guys that tried to repeat, it's so crucial not to, if you want to go back-to-back, if you want to be competitive again, to not allow too much time to kind of feel yourself, to soak it all in. And the Eagles had a great party. Now, here's what's funny. I would never advise the Eagles not to do it that way. I would never tell a team and a city and a fan base, hey, man, you've never won a Super Bowl. You did it in dramatic fashion. You did it in an improbable way. You will go down in history. Don't enjoy it. Turn around and start working again, because I just don't believe in that in life. I think you have to stop, smell the roses, soak it in, be of the moment, in the moment. Because if not, why do all of this? You know, it's easy for us to go, well, stop enjoying this. Because for us, we get to keep enjoying it. They've got to go back to work. And the Patriots are great at this. No days off. Well, they really believe that. No days off. You win a Super Bowl, you enjoy it the Monday after, and then by Tuesday, it's back to work. I just don't believe in that. I could never tell anybody, hey, man, you've just accomplished the greatest thing of your life. Now, don't enjoy it. You just spent your entire life building this. Don't enjoy it. I think that's silly. I think it's ridiculous. It doesn't mean you get to soak it in forever. It means eventually you got to go back to work. But if you've got to sacrifice the season after, I get it. And so for the Eagles, that's kind of what's happening here. Some Eagles fans will want to pin this on the injuries, and no doubt they've dealt with significant injuries. I mean, that secondary that played against the Saints yesterday looked like a fourth preseason game secondary. But let's face it, this ain't injury. It's not injury because last year the Eagles suffered tons of injuries, including to the MVP front runner. Still won a Super Bowl. You can't blame injuries this year, but then not blame injuries last year when you actually won the Super Bowl with as many of them. Fact is, they lost the edge. They partied, they celebrated, they felt themselves. Hell, their head coach did a media tour before the season after writing a book. They lost significant coaching brain power in Reich and DeFilippo. They have dealt with injuries. They got off to a bit of a rocky start because of having to start Foles instead of Wentz. But more than that, they just don't have the same fire and edge that they had last year. And yesterday, they ran into a train because the Saints right now are a freaking locomotive. Their offense is just stupid right now. And the Eagles were made to look embarrassing. But, I mean, the key also is not just that they gave up a ton of points to the Saints, is that they couldn't score either. And, hey, you give up a lot of points to the Saints, it's understandable. You should be able to score more than 7 points over the Eagles. 855-212-4CBS. That's a toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. John is next up. He's in Minnesota listening to the CBS Sports app this morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Well, I'm starting to see what my buddies from Washington were telling me about Kirk Cousins.
And what's that?
That he can pad his stats and have good stats, but he can't take you nowhere because I thought the defense played pretty good last night, but Cousins, those two interceptions were thrown right to the defenders. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, bad throws of the two interceptions. I think he was hearing footsteps. I think Kirk Cousins is a weird dude, okay? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that he's unique. People think weird is bad. I don't mind being called weird. I remember I was in second grade and somebody called me weird in my second grade class. I said, is that supposed to be mean? I've always liked being a little weird. He's unique because listen to him speak. Does he sound like a quarterback that makes guys follow him? Man, yeah, I want to follow that dude. I mean, you saw that vignette last night, Sunday Night Football. He sings. He was in a band. He plays instruments. He had a cubicle in Washington. He liked to pore over stats. He said he would be an accountant if he wasn't a football player. And then they try to ask him, you know, hey, you grew up a Bears fan, and is it great to come back? And even Mike Singletary was a youth coach for you. And he won't even engage in the question. It's like you're talking to a wax figurine. It's like you went to Madame Tussauds and there's the Kirk Cousins statue. Like, it just feels like he's really two-dimensional. And he felt that way when we spoke to him last year at the Super Bowl. It wasn't that he's a bad guy. He was very polite, very diplomatic. It just felt really two-dimensional. Like, either your Stepford Wives situation where the light's on but there's nothing in the house, but or you're just trying really hard to not give away anything. And so Kirk Cousins, when you see him on the field, you go, that guy's a pretty good quarterback. He is. He's a pretty good quarterback. And he's an upgrade over Case Keenum, there's no doubt. He's way better than Case Keenum. I know Case had a great season last year, and I was at the front of the Case Keenum bandwagon last year, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Vikings made the right move in upgrading at quarterback. But last night, against a ferocious pass rush on the road against a good team, Kirk Cousins looked scattered. He looked scared. He looked all over the place. And the two picks are terrible. And, you know, Cousins is going to win you 10 games a year because Cousins is good enough. But is Cousins going to win you the other two that go 10-6 to 12-4? Does Kirk Cousins win the road playoff game? Does Kirk Cousins, against the great defense, throw for 280 and two touchdowns and no picks? Or is that his stat against a mediocre defense, and then the great defense looks like last night? The problem last night was the Vikings were shut out at halftime. And by the time they actually could put a touchdown on the board, there's only 5 minutes left in the game. It was 22-6, and the Vikings just couldn't. They couldn't create big plays, and Cousins just seemed like his head was on a swivel. And part of that is because Khalil Mack and Hicks and the rest of those guys have a great pass rush in Chicago. Part of that is just you tip your cap to the opposing defense. But part of that is Kirk Cousins is good, but he's never going to be great. Here's what you have to hope for if you are the Minnesota Vikings. That Cousins has a Joe Flacco postseason. That Joe Flacco is good, not great, but that somehow the light went on for one postseason and he won four games. And he was impeccable during that four-game run. But you just know Cousins is never going to be a top five quarterback in this NFL. Never. We have too much evidence otherwise. But is he better than Alex Smith? Yeah. Is he better than Case Keenum? Yeah. Is he better than most quarterbacks? Yeah. But last night was a night for the greats to overcome that, and he couldn't because he's not at that level. You know, I always think about Jim Everett. Jim Everett was a quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints back in the 80s and 90s. And infamously with Jim Rome had the Chris Everett situation. And the reason was that Jim went there, Rome, was that there was always this knock on Jim Everett, that he was good. He was a big, strong guy that looked like a quarterback and played like a quarterback and could put up good numbers. But when it came to the best competition, when he had to play the Niners or the Giants or Washington or the Bears or the Eagles or any of those great teams of the NFC of the 80s and 90s, he folded. And he was good enough to end up being, get this, the Rams' all-time leading passer. He's the all-time leading passer in franchise history. But there was always the yeah, but. And I think about Jim Everett a lot because you can't, not everybody can be a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have to have Jim Everett in this world. The guy that's good enough to stick around to be your starting quarterback for a number of years and go to a couple playoffs. But he's not going to be Joe Montana. He's not Dan Marino. He's not John Elway. There has to be room in this world for the Jim Everetts. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is kind of the Jim Everett. And that's okay because you'll go to the postseason and you might win a game of the playoffs and you hope that for one glorious run you turn into a Joe Flacco. But it's not fair to compare him to Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the elite guys because Cousins is never going to be that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Robert tweets, DA, a star has risen in Dallas. Local kid, rookie, Leighton Vander Esch, Boise State, playing like an all-pro veteran. We could be watching the defensive rookie of the year. He's been great. Another big pick yesterday, and the Dallas Cowboys suddenly feel totally different, which is why we will talk about them coming up here next. Dallas is on a little bit of a mini run here. Two wins in a row. But with the Eagles cratering and Washington losing their quarterback, are we looking at the Dallas Cowboys? The Dallas Cowboys! As the winners of the NFC East.
I am a smart Cowboy fan. I know about football.
Ain't nobody else doing nothing?
You guys want, don't you?
It's not Jerry Jones.
You guys want.
But you people are always dogging out the Cowboys. You won't. Everybody won't right now. It doesn't work like that.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but it doesn't work like that, okay, guys? So when we come back, Cowboys playoffs, is this really happening? Plus, next hour, how gross was that Alex Smith injury? And Steve Kerr on this Warriors team and the friction of last week. All next hour, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.